As you know, many times we travel the state. Listen to this segment where we're talking to a particular Arizona celebrity in the courtyard of the Hacienda Inn in beautiful Prescott, Arizona.
Hey, you see who I got chained to the chair over here?
I do.
We had, this is going to be fun. We had a celebrity sighting, and we Romy lassoed him and tied him to the chair, and he's joining the show right now. Executive editor of True West Magazine. Those of you in the Phoenix metro area will know the name well, Mr. Bob Bozbell. Bob, thanks a million for joining us.
Hi, it's great to be here. I love it. I love being cold.
Doesn't this feel good?
This is kind of nippy, too. I'm a guy from the flatlands.
Yes. Yes, absolutely. Bob Bozbell from the Morning Drive Show at KSLX for a decade.
I was on the air for a decade. Imagine that. I went on as a guest to advertise my cartoon book, Low Blows, which was a compilation of my cartoons that I did at New Times back in the 80s. And I got off the air, and he said, "I want to hire you." And I said, you got to be kidding me. I said, "I don't have a radio voice." I said, "I don't know how to run the equipment." I said, "I don't even know what radio people make in terms of money."
And I have to admit, I'm always been a country western guy. When y'all would start playing songs, I would tune out.
Yeah.
But I tuned back in just to listen to you.
We were crazy. We did so. I can't believe we got away with some of the stuff we got away with.
Talk about one or two of them.
I went down into Central Phoenix to buy crack. That was an amazing story. And I couldn't buy it because it was too early. Nobody else, none of the crack
nobody
dealers
was away.
That.
Crack dealers were
asleep. But this is in the 80s, so the phone systems were real heavy, you know. So I had to have a pack.
Yes, okay? Yes, yes.
And I was driving a Ford Econoline, and I pull up to this park at 16th Street in Buckeye, okay? And I get out, and I'm carrying this pack, and everybody that's there starts running because it looks like a cop coming up. I mean, I was lucky I didn't get killed. But I met this guy, and his name was Benny Joe Bossanova Brown. And I said, "You got to help me buy crack." And he said, "I can't do that." And I said, "Why?" And he said, "They'll kill me." And so at the end of the day, I bought crack for him so he wouldn't get killed. And so that's in my resume. You can read about that.
Community service.
Yes, community service. But the one we're most famous for is, and I can't believe I'm telling you this, is we did an...
I think I remember this one.
We did the Indian Uprising show, and it was an April Fool's prank. And we thought it was lame, and we thought... because we didn't plan very good, you know what I mean?
Just one of those spontaneous moments, yeah.
And so at 6 o'clock in the morning, we told our listeners, we want to play a joke on the people who get up at 7. So call in at 7 while I'm doing the news and say that you're being attacked by Indians on Pima Road. And this was ostensibly...
This is where we're trying to build the 101.
Yeah, they were trying to build the 101, and the Pima tribe would not give them the rights, and they were threatening to close Pima Road. So that was the thin premise we were working on. So at 7 o'clock, people are calling up, and they're going, "Hey, I'm out here on Pima Road, and I've got arrows in my tires and my radiator." And I'm looking at my partners and going, "Oh, nobody's going to believe this. That's the dumbest. That guy's overacting. That's a stupid. He's got arrows in his radiator? Please." Well, people start calling up, and I go, "I just got a report that the Albertsons at Scottsdale Road in Hayden is on fire." And that was the mistake. Because I was in a newscast. And I spent a year among lawyers. You know the old curse, may you be found among lawyers. And every morning I'd go in, and the lawyers would sit there, and they'd ask me the same questions. They'd go, "Mr. Bell, what were you thinking when you said that the Albertsons was on fire?" And I said, "Well, I obviously wasn't thinking." The police came and shut the station down. We were the station was put on the FCC. Someone filed a complaint, of course.
Oh, no.
And so, like I said, I spent a year. And so that's the ones I can tell you.
That's the one. It was 10 years of this.
Yeah. Yeah. I can't believe it. I came in on a joke and went out on a joke.
You know what? You could always say, "Hey, I never applied for the job. You offered."
You know what? What I can't believe, you say, you've been doing this 26 years, Rosie?
27 years.
That defies gravity, son.
Years.
That in radio? Are you kidding me? That is redonkulous.
Well, Bob Bozbell, executive editor of True West Magazine. Now, this is something you've picked up and started doing. I want to say you've been on my radar screen as executive editor of this magazine for at least 8 or 9 years. How long have you had it?
16 years.
Yeah. And I think I originally picked it up, but right here at the Spring Hill Suites in one of my stays right here in Scottsdale, it was, you know, in Prescott, and it was right there on the front, and I grabbed it, and I've been enjoying it ever since. Talk a little bit about what this how did this passion get developed?
Well, I grew up in Kingman, Arizona. My dad had a gas station on Route 66, and I was in love with all the Westerns on TV. And so I'd go down to Desert Drugs in downtown Kingman, and I would pick up the latest issue of True West Magazine. And because it told the true stories. And people always ask me, they say, well, how did you get the passion for it, though? And I said, well, here's what happened. My favorite show was Wyatt Earp, Hugh O'Brien.
Okay.
And I loved it because he drank milk. He was a bachelor. He never swore. And he had a pistol with a barrel went all the way to the ground.
Okay.
And what 9-year-old kid couldn't love that?
Couldn't love that.
So I'm up at my grandmother's house, and the show comes on, and you remember the theme song, don't you? Go, Wyatt Earp, Wyatt Earp, brave, courageous, and bold. Long live his fame, and long live his glory, and long may his story be told. Well, right in the middle of that song, my grandmother points at the TV, and she says, Wyatt Earp was the biggest jerk who ever walked the West. And I'm looking at the TV, right, which never lies. And I'm looking at my grandmother, and I'm going, hey, dude, somebody's not telling the truth here. And that's it. That lit the fuse. And I just became obsessed with, what do they really do? What's the truth about the West? And,
well, his history is one of mixed color.
Oh, that, well said, sir. Well, I see why you get the 26 years. That, well said.
I mean.
He was arrested for stealing horses. He was a gambler. He left Arizona wanted for murder.
Yeah.
You know, this guy had a checkered past.
Died in a nursing home in California,
well,
right?
Well, in a nursing home, but he died. Well, and he tried. Here's the weird thing. I'm doing a cover story on this right now. Wyatt Earp in Hollywood, The Untold Story. We have this idea that Wyatt Earp has always been famous, and going back to Tom Mix and William S.
Right.
Not true.
It's kind of a...
He could not sell his life story. He was in Hollywood. He knew William S. Hart. He was at lunch with Jack London, and Charlie Chaplin came by and said, oh, you're the laddie that killed all the blokes in Arizona. You know, I mean, so he knew everybody, and he couldn't get his story told.
I'll be done.
And it took a sports writer, Walter Noble Burns, came out in the last years of his life and took his story and turned it into something, and Earp hated it. Isn't that weird? And he died never making a penny out of his story. And that story needs to be told. I'm working on that now.
On the cover of this was last month's April edition of True West. It talks about the Western's forgotten scout, Comanche Jack Stillwell. And you're talking about Wyatt Earp. Is this the Stillwell that rode with Wyatt?
No, it was his brother.
Okay.
Who was shot dead in the Tucson train station by Wyatt Earp, Doc Holliday, Jack, mm-hmm. Texas Jack Vermillion.
So this is his brother.
This is his brother. Now, what's weird is, and we put these stories together in this issue of True West, is that they couldn't have been two brothers more diametrically different, because Comanche Jack Stillwell was a hero of Beecher's Island, a major Indian fight that took place on the plains. Him and another dude, another scout named Pete Trudeau, they said, okay, we're going to go out through the enemy lines and try to get help. And so you see it in the movies, and the guys are, you know, prancing around on the rocks, you know. These guys took a half pound of horse meat. In other words, they had to kill a horse, one of their old horses, cut it out, and then rub themselves with it so that they would smell like the people they were going after, they were going through. And then they cut the top of their boots off to make moccasins, and they took blankets, and they crawled out into enemy lines, okay, because the Indians were besieging them 24 hours. And they slept out there among them and then crawled during the night, you know, to try to get further, and they ended up within sight of the major Indian encampment.
Oops.
And so they crawled inside two buffalo carcasses that had just enough skin left on it that they could get inside. Imagine what that smelled like.
Oh, my goodness.
And if you've seen this in a movie, this is where it comes from. Comanche Jack Stillwell crawls in there, and all of a sudden he hears the telltale.
Oh, boy.
And he allegedly, or legend says, He calmly took a spit of tobacco and spit in that rattlesnake's eye, and he went, okay, all right, I'm going to be without it here. And so he stayed there all night, and they walked 100 miles or some ridiculous thing. In fact, I think the other guy died of his wounds from exposure, and they were cut to pieces by the cactus and stuff. And anyway, he saved the day. The troops came and...
Can you imagine the nerves of steel you have to keep it together to...
Yeah.
Wake up realizing you've crawled all night to get right in the center.
Right, right in the center of the camp. And then they made a plan. They're whispering and they go, okay, if they yahoo us in Cheyenne, we'll answer in Dakota. And if they yahoo us in Dakota, we'll answer in Cheyenne and try to throw them off. They never had to do that. But these guys, as they used to say, the vernacular, these guys had sand.
Yeah, they had sand. Well, let's talk about your current projects. What are you working on right now?
Well, we just finished up a huge project on Pancho Villa and the Mexican Revolution. And like so many Arizonans, you know, you think, oh, yeah, I know that story. But when I got to digging into that story, it's crazy, man.
Willie Nelson's song leaves out a few details.
Well, Pancho and Lefty, which is a fabulous song. But, yeah, if you use that for your history, that's not going to cut it. Think about this. 1.5 million Mexicans lost their life in the revolution.
1.5 million?
That is all the wars we've ever fought.
Yeah.
The Revolutionary War, the Civil War, 600,000. Vietnam, Korea, World War II, World War I. You get up to about 1.6, I think it is.
Wow.
And they lost that in one Revolutionary War. And the stories are just staggering, of the treachery, just the amazing thing that Pancho started out off as a bandit and ended up as a general and almost as the president of Mexico. It's a fabulous story, and we allotted a cover story to it, and that'll be arriving in our subscribers' mailboxes in about 10 days.
Okay, very good. Well, I appreciate you carving time. I know you've got a busy agenda this weekend judging the artwork. We're up here at the Phippen. And Phippen was a local artist.
Yes,
he lived right over in Skull Valley, didn't he?
He did, yeah, one of the legends of this area.
Started the Cowboy Artists of America with Frederick Remington and some...
No, not Remington. 26 years, really? And that's the best clip you can cook, Rosie?
Last night, I was over with the Meredith at the Jersey Lily, and they were talking about the Quick Draw competition. Do you know when that is?
When is it?
I think it's today.
It's today,
today.
Everyone has 1 hour to draw.
Yeah, and that takes nerve. Because I'm an artist, but I'm the kind that, you know, when the teacher would come by, you'd put your arm around the thing that you didn't want anybody to see it till it was done. So that an artist would stand up in front of a crowd and start with a blank canvas, that is amazing.
Well, you know, when we talk carpentry and we talk construction, you know, I tell trim carpenters, I said, you know, the best trim carpenter I know is the one that can cover his mistakes quickly and not know it was ever made. And that you see that in the quick draw artist. A little yellow will go a little bit farther than they want it to, and then they just fold back the red. And I mean, it's really a lot of fun to watch.
Here's the thing. We believe, most lay people believe, that you have to stay within the lines. But true artists draw outside of the lines. They're reckless, just like you, Rosie.
Nice transition.
Thank you so much, Mr. Bob Bozbell, a true Arizona icon. Thanks for joining us.
It's the Rosie on the House show, and today we're covering our favorite moments from 2015. In the next segment, we'll share some of our favorite Romero family moments, and then we'll get back to some of our favorite homeowner questions from last year.
Pick up this Saturday edition of the Arizona Republic for Rosie's Home Improvement column, where we cover the most important topics that every homeowner needs to know.